Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for listening to this highlight from Connecting Faith. If you'd like to hear the entire broadcast or to hear more highlights from our recent shows, you can go to our Connecting Faith program page on myfaithradio.com.
The number of examples we've observed of a church from the United States giving, let's say, $5,000 to a church in Uganda to lend and collect back, that often doesn't work because the local people know that the money is from the West and it's nobody's money. It's other people's money, right? And so the money often doesn't get repaid. But when it's your own money, when the group members are lending their own money to one another, they have a pretty strong incentive to screen candidates for loans well and to hold those people accountable for repaying their loans well. And so it's really a very decentralized kind of banking in which the very, very grassroots folks are holding each other accountable for keeping their promises.
And this is working we know statistically, right, that extreme poverty has been decreasing over the last few years, but is this actually one of the keys that's making it work?
Yeah, you know, there's quite a bit of debate right now about what is the role of microfinance in poverty alleviation. And some really thought it would be kind of the silver bullet that would launch people out of poverty. And some recent studies have suggested that that's just not the case, that it turns out that many poor people are not the world's leading entrepreneurs. And if you give them a $30 loan, they don't become Bill Gates and Microsoft overnight. Shocker. And so there's a little bit of a sense of this is not the easy upward escalator out of poverty. But what the research is finding is that particularly if one uses the savings blood approach that I've been describing, which builds not on loans but on savings, there is evidence that it does stabilize life. It's not so much that your income goes up dramatically. It's more like you are getting tossed about and batted around by life, and life becomes more stable. There's more of a cushion. There's less wild swings. And because of that, you're less vulnerable. Children don't get sick as often. Children can stay in school longer. The family life is more stable. It gives the family some breathing room to think about its future in a way that it couldn't before. And so it's not a silver bullet out of poverty, but it does seem to be very powerful as a stabilizer, as a reducer of vulnerability. And then we're seeing, in addition to that, very strong social and spiritual impacts. Group members will often say things like, I was all alone before, and now I'm not alone anymore. I have a family. People say things like, I used to feel very bad about myself, and now I have dignity. I understand that I am somebody, and I have hope and a future. And then people say things like, I didn't know who Jesus Christ was, and now I know who Jesus Christ is, and he's my Savior. And so we're seeing very dramatic social and spiritual impacts in addition to the stabilized economic ones.
Thanks for listening to this podcast highlight from Connecting Faith. For more information about this podcast or other audio archives, you can visit our Connecting Faith show page on myfaithradio.com.